Hi, thanks for listening. This is the It's All Widgets Flutter podcast. My name is Hillel Korn, and each episode we get a chance to speak with another amazing member of Flutter community. This episode, we're extremely lucky to speak with Thomas. Welcome.
Hi. It's so good to be here. If you remember, I was one of the impulse for the name for a podcast in the past.
You beat me to it. I was going to mention this. Yes, exactly right. Thomas is one of the first people I met in the Flutter community back in 2018. I think a long time ago. We were going to do this podcast together. That was the plan. And Thomas came up with a brilliant name. I loved it instantly. But then someone else was doing a podcast. So we stopped. When I came back later, I think at that point I asked again, you weren't available. But that is correct. And thank you for the name. It's been great, right? All these years later, I think it's good. It's funny. It's clever.
Yeah. And I'm super happy that we finally get an episode where I'm your guest. So really, really happy to be there.
Took way too long. And thank you for joining. It's going to be a good episode, I'm sure. People are familiar with you, with your background. You want to quickly share who you are?
My full name is Thomas Burkhardt, originally from Germany. And I'm in IT for over 30 years now. So sort of a dinosaur or legacy system. And I did a lot of different things in IT. So I started with Commodore Amiga. I did Windows development, C#, .NET. I did some embedded development with C and C++. And I started mobile development with Xamarin because at that point I wanted to make an app. That was actually the original idea. I had an app idea, and I wanted to build an app, but I had no intention of learning two different new languages. And at that time, Xamarin was the only real feasible option for cross-platform. And I did this for some time, and until I had to make a break because of some health issues. And when I came back, and I wanted to continue on my app, and I updated all the packages of this project and the latest version of Xamarin, and nothing built, and the project didn't build anymore, not at all. And two hours later, it was still not building because it was really dependency hell with different packages. It's not like Flutter packages, yeah. NuGet packages on .NET are different beasts. And it was a coincidence that I think 2 days ago Flutter announced the beta release. So I downloaded the beta, and I had an first app running within 20 minutes, and I thought, wow, this looks really cool. And I never went back. So I immediately stopped using .NET for mobile apps. And since then, I'm working on Flutter.
It's a great story. It's interesting the similarities and differences also between Flutter and Xamarin. Xamarin's also a great technology. Still used a bit, but I think it's kind of end of life at this point.
Yeah, I think it really, the problem was really When they got acquired by Microsoft, and Microsoft did not put it on a mobile business but put it into their cloud business, it was the end.
And then once you join the Flutter community, you've been extremely active as a developer sharing packages. There's a long list, but maybe we can start with Gedit. I think that was probably the first popular package. It'd be helpful if we just run through a few of them. Let's talk about what they do, how developers can use them, and the problems you're solving.
Yeah, actually, it was the very first package. Yeah, and actually, it was created because at this point I was not able to get inherited widgets working in a way that they should rebuild the UI when my data changed, and I was really annoyed about that, and. Actually, I was there at that time. I was talking with Brian Egan, and he had problems with the same thing. And the other thing that I mean, this is maybe because I'm not a mobile app developer before, so I didn't have any Android experience. And because of that, I could not understand why should I use a build context to access my data? Because with Xamarin, I was always using a service locator, which was called Splat from Poor Bats at this time. And I didn't understand really why should I use now a context? Yeah, it didn't make sense to me because in my whole life I access data otherwise. And so I decided I ported the initial version of Gedit was more or less the API from Splat ported. And but then quickly added additional abilities like startup orchestration so that you can make sure that all your objects that you register inside Gedit are correctly initialized, even if they're asynchronous objects. And basically what you do, you register an object in Gedit, and then you can access it anywhere in your app, independent of contexts, independent of in which widget you are. And it's, I like this way to access my data. And this was the, yeah, it was my first, was the first package. And then, and I typically used it in this time that I registered a manager object, and the manager object had a stream inside. So my widgets could use a stream builder and access and get updated with the data. That was the initial start. Yeah, and I really like, I mean, there's the Flutter community, especially the early Flutter community. This is something, I guess, a lot of listeners that have not been there in that time. I mean, this was 2019, was a very, very small and familiar community. So it was, I just enjoyed being in active in the community. And at the time, still Flutter, they organized amazing events for active community members. I think we met the first time in person in London, right? I think this was the first time.
Yeah, probably Flutter Live.
Flutter Live, exactly. We met in London and then again in Flutter Interact in New York, if I remember it correctly, yes.
Yes, that sounds right.
And so... yeah, I was really motivated because of the community also to share things that I develop and to publish them. The next thing that the next package was probably Rx Command, how it was called at this time, which was implements the command pattern, and originally based on streams, and it developed, the whole thing developed further that in the meantime, it's a whole, it's a sort of a construction kit, which has recently received a full rebranding so that all the packages have names that are easier to recognize. And we have a whole new documentation website for all of them under the label Flutter It. And Flutter It is also published as package. So if you want to use all my packages, then you just pull in Flutter It and you get it. And it contains now, we have Gedit, the service locator. Then we have WatchIt, which is the adapter, or it's a part that adapts on WatchIt. Then we have WatchIt, which is the state management add-on on Gedit. So with WatchIt, you can observe objects registered in Gedit, and automatically it will trigger a rebuild of your UI. So and this in a very, very straightforward and easy way with really zero boilerplate code. WatchIt uses under the hood the same mechanism as Flutter Hooks, but I believe that the API is way more approachable and way more expressive what what the functions do, yeah? Because it's just so in your build function, you simply write an watch statement, and then it will rebuild. So you have, for example, you have an object, a change notifier, for example, user manager that is registered in GetIt, and then you in your build function you write directly final user manager equals watch user manager, and that's all that you need, and it will automatically rebuild your UI and return the user manager on any change that the change notifier signals. So this was the first. Is this combination that you have? Okay, you have your service locator to access your data, and you have watch it to observe your data and to rebuild your UI. Then we have commanded. Commanded is now the new command package, which is no longer stream based but is value notifier based. And commands itself wrap typically an asynchronous function, and then you call the command which executes the function. And by doing this, it also handles several things. The first thing is a command has several properties. One is running, one is errors, and one is can run. So, and all these properties are also value notifiers. So, together with watch it, you can directly observe a command. And when you execute command, it will automatically update your the running state. If the wrapped function throws an exception, it will automatically caught and then appear in the value notifier errors that you also can observe easily with a watch function from watch it. So it adds to watch it the a more powerful application logic. You could say it offers a lot of that what you get with block, but in a more straightforward way, because there are no streams. We don't push an event to call a function. No, we call a command, yeah? And the command has very clear named properties that tell you what's going on. And you can define sophisticated error handling that you can define. Okay, you want to have certain errors handled directly on the local level on the errors property, or other errors should automatically be routed to a global command handler for all commands. So it really gives you a lot of power, but still it's easy to use. And then the last package is ListenIt, which is basically extension methods on value notifiers that give you all the typical functions that you, if you have ever used rxstart or any rx library, ListenIt gives you the same functions for value listenables. So you can map, you have an aware, you have combined lists, we have merge functions. So you can combine the state of different value notifiers with listenit functions, and then watch the combined function with watch it to update your UI. Additionally, it contains a whole set of listenable collections. So we have we have map, list, and sets that implement change notifier. So they implement value listenable. So you can directly react if a list gets updated. Anything in the list gets changed, it will automatically trigger your UI if you watch the the list notifier or the map notifier or the set notifier. And yeah, and that's the whole thing that is Flutter it. And I can only recommend checking out the new documentation site, which I'm quite proud of how it turned out in the end. And yeah, that's my open source.
Awesome. I know just from online how popular the packages are. I know there are many people in the community who rely on them to build their apps. It's also really fascinating to me how these packages were built to solve your own personal problem.
All my packages were born from own needs that I had, yeah. And I believe I have a pretty good I know how to build APIs that are they're easy to learn or easy to understand. They're very pragmatic. I don't like some people might say, oh yeah, service locators are bad because I can access objects from everywhere how do I control who accesses what? And then I say, yes, it's true, but honestly it makes life so much easier. And if your team is not able to deal with this, then maybe you have a skill problem in your team. Yeah, so it is it's interesting. And the other thing is, it is being a maintainer of Flutter packages, it has some challenges, especially if your package is popular but is not one of the really big ones. I mean, Gedit is, I think, number 3 or 4 in the state management ranking, I would say. But if you look how popular Block or Riverpod is, they find a way bigger community around their packages, which means they get also help in maintaining the packages. And my packages are in this weird middle ground that they have really, I know I have thousands of users, and especially Gedit is really, really used in by many, many people. Many people use it not directly, but they use Injectable, which is basically using Gedit, but you can with code generation. But it's definitely a challenge to maintain such a package suite if you are just a solo developer.
I know the open source community can be unforgiving at times, put it nicely.
Yeah, I mean, not so much unforgiving. I think the way bigger problem is that they don't care. Sorry, I mean, it's really, the thing is, if something doesn't work, they complain. But it is really, really rare that you get a PR that people really contribute or don't expect to get any monetary compensation or so. Yeah, I mean, I have a GitHub sponsor. I have a Buy Me a Coffee, and honestly, over the years, it's ridiculous how little anyone ever spent there. Yeah, so open source this problem has almost every open source maintainer. That community is happy to consume, but unfortunately not so happy to contribute. And especially in the Flutter community, I don't know if it's the same in other tech stacks, but if you see how many people publish new packages for state management or for another service locator, and you just wonder, why? Because most of these new approaches are not better. Yeah, they are. Sometimes they are worse, or they offer less. In the end, and you ask, okay, why can't you just look for a package that you like, and ask, hey, can I contribute? Can I help with it? Yeah. So it seems a lot of Flutter developers who publish packages do it as sort of their personal artistic expression, and not so much about that. Let's help building a healthy ecosystem. So, yeah, it isn't. It is really. It's a very special field to be in.
Without a doubt. I'll say from personal experience, the way we've been able to make money off of open source or at least source available code is by having a hosted platform. It's our application, we make the code available, but 90% of our revenue comes from our hosted platform. Only about 10% come from the self-host platform. And what we found in general is our self-host users are willing to give us their time to save money, whereas our hosted users are looking to save time by spending money.
Absolutely. I mean, Christian Findlay from Australia, he recommended I should offer a service level agreement for my packages, as an option. And I thought about it. I mean, this is I also believe that that your business model with in Invoice Ninja is definitely a better way at this. Because the thing is, for an app, this dual licensing just works better. Yeah, this is something for packages, and especially in Flutter, where packages are just source code, so we don't have the ability to protect the package. Yeah, it's really hard to make commercial packages. Yeah, because why would someone bother if we can just copy the source code? Yeah, so yeah, no, but still, the main reason why I do them is that I wanted them myself, and then I like to share. I like to share knowledge. So on conferences, talking about them now here, and yeah, it's the I was it was interesting that the I was always I always wanted to. To give them a better or yeah a real good documentation because this was always one of the lacking sides. The packages were always there, but the documentation was not on the level that I wanted to have them. And luckily, I started this, I think in September it was, yeah, when I finally really started to embrace AI-based coding. And only with the with because at the of the amazing possibilities with Claude Code, I could build this new documentation site on this level that I have it now. So, but at least it's now at a state that I can say, okay, I'm happy with it, and it will probably stay for some time. And I'm focusing at the moment more on doing my own pro doing working on own apps. But obviously, if there are feature requests, if there are new ideas, I will also continue extending the packages.
So I believe you just launched your own app. Is that right? I'd love to talk about it. You can pitch it. What's the idea? I will share the link in the show notes as well.
It's also really one of the consequences of starting using AI. Because in the past, I was always it always it always felt just too much work to publish your own app. Yeah, it was just oh God, until everything is finished, it seems just not it's just too much for one person. Which is the reason why I really never finished any of my of previous apps that I started. Yeah, I was all the time working for client projects, and this app actually I started already very at the beginning when I started with Flutter, but I then got sidetracked and I did not finish it. And when I now got the idea, when I started to think, oh, okay, I have so much more productivity now. Because of agent-based coding, why not give it a try and finish this app? So, what is the app? The app is called Sharing Me, and Sharing Me is a very unique journaling app. So, the idea is you record one thought every day, and just text, and the beauty of it is that the app gives you a sort of time travel. So you see directly on every day, you can switch different scales. What was my thought? 1 week ago, 2 weeks ago, 1 month ago, 2 months ago, 1 month ago, 1 year ago, 2 years ago. And you then can swipe left and right from day to day, and you see in a vertical scroll view how was your development over time. And additionally, it offers the possibility you can invite trusted friends or a partner to your journal. So you can create multiple journals for different topics, and you can then decide, okay, they are called circles, and you can then decide to invite trusted friends, family members, a partner to your to one of the circles. So currently, so you can have your private reflection circle. You can have, I use currently a gratitude circle, and you could also have a partner circle where you share thoughts every day with your partner. And I think it's a nice thing. It's clearly the opposite of being of everything sharing public. But it's more to say, okay, let's focus on the small things that we want to remember every day. And it's quite interesting from the technology side also, because the moment that I wanted to add the sharing possibility, it was clear, okay, I need online synchronization, and I need real-time updates. If someone shares enters a new thought, it should immediately update the other apps. And I was really not sure at the beginning what sort of backend should I use. Obviously, you look at Firestore. On the other side, I didn't really want to have a vendor login, and then I looked in a little bit more into ServerPod, and it seems promising. And you can deploy ServerPod very easily to an VPS, for example, at Hetzner, which costs just €6 a month. Yeah, and again there because Cloud Code is amazing. It's really an amazing tool, and Cloud Code really seems to like ServerPod. So Cloud completely implemented my whole backend in ServerPod. I did not write one line code there myself, and it completely helped me for the deployment, even up to the point I now use mainly Linux, and so Cloud could use SSH to directly connect into my VPS, set up everything that was necessary to for the reverse proxy there, that everything with the DNS is correctly configured. That was, the agent did all of this, yeah, and ServerPod just worked. So it's a full Dart solution, and I launched it, I think, in the App Store. The App Store approval was last week just. So it's really very, very, very new. And I hope that people will like it. I'm now faced with the new challenge that is a completely different beast of how do you do marketing for such an app. And today, this is typically... or the only real channel to doing this is social media. So I felt so cringe. I made my first Instagram video with myself on camera, and I created an Instagram channel for it. I created a TikTok channel for the app, and now trying to market it and see will I be able to also to earn money with my own app? And but it's exciting. It's super exciting, and I have quite a lot of other app ideas currently that I want to do. And because of AI agents, it got possible now.
That's awesome. Congratulations. And good luck. I think this counts as marketing. So
yes, I hope so.
I hope so. So if you're listening, and the app idea sounds wonderful. Sounds really nice. Especially like the shared concept. I know my wife would love it.
Yes.
I don't know if I'm willing to share with her, but I should consider
it. The nice thing is you can have your own personal one and you have a shared one. And even in the shared one, you can add for every day a private thought additionally. Yeah. That the other side does not see.
So, Mary, what's the name of the app? So people can also search for it. What's it called?
Sharing Me.
Sharing Me. Got it. Amazing.
Yeah.
So cool.
And I'm actually this is what might actually be even more interesting for at least for Flutter developers. I'm relatively short before releasing a new project, which is called Code Drop, which is not a Flutter app. It's an you would probably call it an SaaS, which allows you to manage handling of promotional codes from App Store and Play Store, way more easy than it's than without, and that was also a pretty amazing experience because I almost finished this whole project within 4 days, just with two AI agents running.
It is a new reality. It is definitely a new world.
It's a completely new world, and I mean, to make it even more plastic, I have never written a line of JavaScript or TypeScript in my life. Yes, and I'm able to build a full-fledged web app, including payment systems, etc., just by agents. So it is complete. It's really a new world.
So let's take a step back. I mean, where do you see this going?
Sure.
What's your vision of 2 years from now, 5 years from now, developer roles? I mean, what happens in your opinion?
Honestly, I have no idea. This is okay. Let's step a little bit back. My journey into AI, because people following me on Twitter know that still in August, I was one of the biggest AI skeptics. And because at this time I was using Cursor in my client project, and I was just not convinced, because it always seemed to be to make more work than necessary. Or that it helped, yeah. So it really, and it messed up stupid things. It forgot files to change, etc. So I really was a very, very big skeptic. And then some things happen. In my current client project, they had to cut costs, which meant that suddenly I was the only developer for the mobile app left. And the 2 years before that I was working on this app, I was all the time only doing data layer and business layer stuff. And I had typically one or two UI developers additionally on a team. And so suddenly I really had to admit to myself, wow, you are completely out of practice with Flutter widgets, with real widget code. And I had heard quite a lot of good things about Cloud Code. And so I don't know really why at this point, I just said, okay, you know what, give it a try. How much can I do if I use Cloud Code? And I was completely blown away how good it is. And it's really since September, I have almost written not one line or so of source code myself. I work almost exclusively in prompts, and sometimes with two agents in parallel. And it does, especially if it seems Cloud Code is pretty good if you start with an existing code base, because it really takes examples which patterns have you used in other widgets, etc. So You can build new features in an app at a rate that is unbelievable. That was not imaginable before. So I'm always joking that if you know the biblical figure of Paul, Saint Paul, who was originally had the name Saul and got enlightened and changed his name. So I'm sometimes joking. Okay, yeah, I turned from Saul to Paul, and I think one thing I'm very sure of, any developer who does not fully embrace AI-based coding right now or has not already started will be left behind. That's I'm absolutely sure about. And I mean, even people like Linus Torvald now says he uses it and it writes better code than he could in many cases. You still have to be babysit. You still have to review, but I would say my own productivity increased by a factor 5 at least. And without that, I would not have had the resources to work on my own app in parallel with my client app, or now start this new this new SSAS. I think the biggest change is we will no longer have to care about how we write code. We still need to understand systems, and that's the bigger challenge. I think the group of developers that has currently the hardest time are junior developers, because their jobs can be easily replaced with an AI agent, and they don't have the experience to really manage a whole project themselves or to verify does the agent do everything correctly. So in a way, old guys like me and you, we are in a way in an extremely good position at the moment. Yeah, because I mean we have years of experience. We know how systems work. So we get a new tool into our hand that gives us enormous power if we use it.
So this seems like a good point to transition to my last question is, what advice would you give people just starting out? So to end on a positive note, maybe if you're a younger developer listening to this podcast, don't lose hope. You can thrive as a developer. Here's how. What would you suggest?
Oh, Okay. Actually, yesterday evening, I had I helped a junior developer preparing for an interview. it's a good question. I believe it's really important for junior developers to focus on getting a broad knowledge about what is available at tools, frameworks, back-end technologies. But the thing is, the big change now is we don't need to know every detail of this of these components, but we need to know their pros and cons and what you can do with them. Yeah, and then you focus on how do I really use effectively an coding agent, and that you learn, okay, yes, start out using it to do brainstorming, really discuss with the agent things, plan things before you tell him, okay, now you implement. And for that, it's important you have to know what technology is out there, yeah? Because then you can say, okay, what do you think? Let's use at this place, what sort of state management should we use? What sort of backend should we use? And the agent will tell you something, but you have to then to know, okay, does it make sense what it tells you or not? So I would really recommend people starting out trying to get more generalistic. The time for people who know really to flip bits, I think it's over. besides some very, very specific jobs. Yeah, I mean, if you want to work on the Flutter on the Flutter graphics engine and GPU programming, probably you still need this. But for everywhere else, yeah, try to get as broad as possible knowledge, and also try to train yourself in thinking of what makes a good app. So not so much on the code, on the technology side, but really what is a good app for a user, because then you can tell your agent what it should implement.
That's great advice. Good luck to all beginner programmers out there. Things have changed a lot and keep changing. I would argue that this disruption probably creates a lot of opportunities, and the opportunities are out there. The challenge is finding them. That's probably easier said than done.
Yes. I mean, honestly, right now I see so many aspects where we run into extreme problems with AI. Yeah. You see it that you see suddenly solutions managed. Promoted that completely write AI based marketing campaigns on all social media channels. Yeah,
right. Eventually, the internet's gonna be AI talking to AI. We'll just be watching. Yeah,
yes, the thing is, where does it end? I fear currently that we are destroying the infrastructure, the ecosystem that allows to connect with a lot of people. Yeah, but because we are flooding it with cheap content, and the problem is people don't think about consequences anymore. And that's so. Yes, it's a very. I also see a lot of opportunities. Absolutely, but it is a very, very unsecure times where we are heading. Yeah, so we will see.
So just to wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to add or promote?
The new project Code Drop is probably really nice to check out for people. I hope that I will release it next week, and definitely check out flutterit.dev, the documentation website, and if anyone wants to get in touch, find me. You can always find me on Twitter in the meantime again. And thank you for having me.
Thomas, thank you so much for being on. This is a great episode. Really nice getting a chance to catch up and talk. Thanks for listening. Till next time.